Sweet. And then we're manhandled by guards and thrown in here. Pushed gently, corrected Garhathra. Which turned out to be this amazingly rich room, and there's all this food, and a man saying he's devoting his life to making us happy. Twoflower concluded. What I'm getting at is this sort of lack of consistency.
Ah, said Rincewind. What he means is, are you about to start being generally unpleasant again? Is this just a break for lunch?
Garhathra held up his hands reassuringly. Please, please, he protested. It was just necessary to get you here as soon as possible. We certainly do not want to enslave you. Please be reassured on that score.
Well, fine, said Rincewind.
Yes, you will in fact be sacrificed, Garhathra continued placidly.
Sacrificed? You're going to kill us? Shouted the wizard.
Kill? Yes, yes, of course, certainly. It would hardly be a sacrifice if we didn't, would it? But don't worry, it'll be comparatively painless.
Comparatively?
Compared to what? Said Rincewind. He picked up a tall green bottle that was full of sea-grape jellyfish wine and hurled it hard at the guestmaster, who flung up a hand as if to protect himself. There was a crackle of octarine flame from his fingers, and the air suddenly took on the thick, greasy feel that indicated a powerful magical discharge. The flung bottle slowed and then stopped in mid-air, rotating gently. At the same time, an invisible force picked Rincewind up and hurled him down the length of the room, pinning him awkwardly halfway up the far wall with no breath left in his body. He hung there with his mouth open, in rage and astonishment. Garhathra lowered his hand and brushed it slowly on his robe.
I didn't enjoy doing that, you know, he said.
I could tell, muttered Rincewind.
But what do you want to sacrifice us for? Asked Twoflower. You hardly know us.
That's rather the point, isn't it? It's not very good manners to sacrifice a friend. Besides, you were specified. I don't know a lot about the god in question, but he was quite clear on that point. Look, I must be running along now. So much to organize, you know how it is.
The guest master opened the door and then peered back around it.
Please, make yourselves comfortable and don't worry.
But you haven't actually told us anything, wailed Twoflower.
It's not really worth it, is it? What with you being sacrificed in the morning, said Garhathra. It's hardly worth the bother of knowing, really. Sleep well. Comparatively well, anyway.
He shut the door. A brief octarine flicker of balefire around it suggested that it had now been sealed beyond the skills of any earthly locksmith. Gling, clang, tang went the bells along the circumfence in the moonlit rimfall roaring night. Turton, length man of the 45th length, hadn't heard such a clashing since the night a giant kraken had been swept into the fence 5 years ago. He leaned out of his hut, which for the lack of any convenient eyot on this length had been built on wooden piles driven into the seabed, and stared into the darkness. Once or twice he thought he could see movement far off. Strictly speaking, he should row out to see what was causing the din, but here in the clammy darkness it didn't seem like an astoundingly good idea, so he slammed the door, wrapped some sacking round the madly jingling bells, and tried to get back to sleep. That didn't work, because even the top strand of the fence was thrumming now, as if something big and heavy was bouncing on it. After staring at the ceiling for a few minutes, and trying hard not to think of great long tentacles and pond-sized eyes, Turton blew out the lantern and opened the door a crack. Something was coming along the fence, in giant loping bounds that covered meters at a time. It loomed up at him, and for a moment Turton saw something rectangular, multi-legged, shaggy with seaweed, and although it had absolutely no features from which he could have deduced this, it was also very angry indeed. The hut was smashed to fragments as the monster charged through it, although Turton survived by clinging to the circumfence. Some weeks later he was picked up by a returning salvage fleet, subsequently escaped from Krull on a hijacked lens, having developed hydrophobia to an astonishing degree, and after a number of adventures eventually found his way to the Great Neff, an area of the disk so dry that it actually has negative rainfall, which he nevertheless considered uncomfortably damp.
"Have you tried the door?"
"Yes," said Twoflower, "and it isn't any less locked than it was the last time you asked."
There's the window, though.